fresh, cold alpine wind off the slopes I love to ski. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not ever complete the last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, that primordial tower. I have been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know, am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? Book 1, Poem 2. I felt a sense of release, as if I had been let out of a cage I had not known I was in. Rilke's images lent some pattern, even meaning, to a life I thought had failed in its spiritual vocation. Once, I had imagined that my journey would be like the Pilgrim's Progress, where each adventure brings the hero closer to the heavenly city, but the Christian God with whom I had been intoxicated in my teenage years did not survive the theological studies I undertook to serve him, and it was a hymn. When I turned outward, angry and heartsick, to political affairs, I found that I was a failure as an atheist too, for I could not cure myself of praying to a God I no longer believed in. Now those same lines, read for the first time on a snow-packed Munich street, shed a new light on the patchwork my life had become. Marriage, motherhood, abandoned government career, assortment of jobs, studies in art and language. Perhaps, after all, some unknowable centre held me in orbit. Rilke reminded me that if my spiritual appetite was greater than the tedious, cramped theorizing of the theologians, so was God. I could almost feel again the sense of belonging and purpose that I thought I had forfeited. The Book of Hours came with me to Asia 8 years later, when I went to live in India with my young family and the Peace Corps. There, through work with Tibetan refugees, Buddhism entered my life and brought a sense of ease and strength in the patterns it revealed for structuring experience, patterns that seemed familiar. Rilke, in the Book of Hours, had expressed the sacred in terms and images I now found central to Buddhist teachings, concepts such as law and way, Du sanftestes Gesetz, and images of wheel and net. You are a wheel at which I stand. You dark net threading through us. When I first undertook meditative practice, I did not feel a divine presence, an encompassing other to be held and supported by, which seemed to be there for the young Rilke. Don't you sense me? Ready to break into being at your touch. Book 1, Poem 19. But gradually, over time, as the mind relaxed, capacities bred by my earlier Christian experience resurfaced and infused my understanding of Buddhism. The presence that I became aware of, around and within me, is apprehended through an act of rapt, wordless attention, receptive and probing. And what the presence seems to be is the web itself, the thrumming relationality of all things. Rilke's recognition of the reciprocal nature of our relationship with God, and even with life, is itself a poetic and profoundly personal complement to the Buddha's central doctrine of dependent co-arising. Asserting the radical interdependence at the core of existence, this teaching seemed to me at times a bit abstract, so I loved reading again, What Will You Do, God, When I Die? Book 1, Poem 36. This sense of reciprocity nourished my engagement in work for social change and was fed by it in turn. There came a time in the middle and late 1970s when the enormity of what I was discovering as an environmental activist, especially about the widespread, long-term, devastating effects of nuclear weapons production, broke through my defences. I struggled simply to take in what was happening to our world and to sustain the gaze long enough to be of use. Rilke's unwhining acceptance of the fact that, yes, a world can